Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
You want to look for companies that improve life, that solve a solid problem for a starving crowd, for somebody who actually has a pain. You want to look for companies who allow us do things better, faster, and cheaper, because these things are never going to go away. And most important of all, like, at least for me, like as Invest Divas, our community, we invest in companies that do something good for the humankind. Because if you're basically voting with your money on which company you want to see succeed.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Come to Game, where we flip the script on the old school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
so good to have you here for another great episode. You're going to love this one. At least I did. So I really hope you do as well. You've heard so many guests on this show talk all about different ideas when it comes to investing. There seems to be two camps that most of them are in, either your day trading or your value investing. So if you like the idea of living your life, maybe you're a parent or you work full time or you run a business, and you don't want to be stuck in front of the screen all day, then value investing probably makes sense for you. But what is value investing? Good question. Our guest, Kiana Danielle, CEO of Investiva, an award-winning and internationally recognized personal investing and wealth management expert, is here to explain. Kiana is also a five-time author with books including Cryptocurrency Investing for Dummies and the co-author of Million Dollar Moms, which achieved a number one status on Amazon in 8 different categories in 2020. So in this episode, you're going to learn what value investing is, how to choose companies to invest in, how to determine your investment tolerance, aka how risky you want to be, and loads of other great actionable value investing questions to ask yourself. I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money. Are you ready to start value investing? Let's go. We've got a lot that I want to talk about, but I want to start with your story. You went from $0 to build a $5 million investing portfolio after you lost your job on Wall Street. And I've got a lot of questions about that, but I want to just start with, you know, what made you make this decision to start investing after you did lose your job?
So it's interesting because the job that I got fired from was something that I got into because I got interested in investing. My background is not finance or money. My background is actually engineering. And I studied that in Tokyo. When I learned about the power of investing back in 2008 when the markets crashed and I accidentally made $10,000 in a bear market, I was like, oh my gosh, who wants to be an engineer when you can like make money when everybody else is losing money? So that was a trigger. I decided to go to New York, work on Wall Street. I got a job on Wall Street within 2 weeks, and it was exciting. I learned a lot. I was slapped with a lot of reality checks about, you know, Wall Street boys and us versus them and the retail traders and all the good stuff. And when I got fired, it kind of fired up this burning desire up my butt that I kind of wanted to help others to understand the power of investing but do it properly, because at least at the time that I started out, there was not as much education around investing, financial literacy. This is back in 2010. And especially there wasn't that much information specifically for women and moms. And it has gotten a lot better now. It's 12 years later. So I'm so thankful that people are getting more aware of what this is about and what retirement really looks like and how to get there. But back in the day, not many people were aware. And that was kind of my mission. It became my mission to help people understand how to do it properly. And the only way to do it was to not be involved in the corporate world, because otherwise I had to be regulated by all the levels of management above me. So the only way to go about it to actually make an impact was to start my own business.
So you made this $10,000 and you kind of had this light bulb moment where you learned the power of investing. And everyone that's listening right now is in a different phase of their investing journey. Some people are just starting out, just starting to dip their toe in the water. Some people are a little bit more seasoned. But tell us about this power of investing. Like, when you say that, what does that mean?
So I do want to mention the element of luck that was involved in my first trade ever. And I would never, ever recommend anybody to do the same thing that I did, because I absolutely got lucky. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. Somebody told me to do something and I had no idea what any of that meant. I just did it and I got lucky and made some money. Now, the good news is I was aware that I got lucky, because if I wasn't, it would have turned into gambling, which we see a lot in the markets. The reason why we hear many people lose a ton of money in the markets is because it becomes that kind of an addiction, and people don't realize that That is not the investing that we're talking about that is going to get you to financial freedom. The financial freedom kind of investing is the one that you're aware of what you're doing, why you're doing it. So for me, it was understanding how that happened and trying to replicate the exact thing instead of trying to get lucky again and going in another hyped up asset just to make another $10,000. So that is basically now has become my mission to help people understand and recognize the differences between what we call value investing and day trading. And what I specifically teach is value investing. I don't teach hedge funds how to day trade, even though I could if I wanted to. But because my mission is to help people who are like at a retail basis, they have a full-time job, they have their own business, they're moms, they're busy nurses, and they just want to have their money work for them. And the way to do it without being stuck to a screen all day is to become a value investor.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And you bring up a good point that I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about, because 2022 is kind of my year, my personal mission to dive deeper into investing. So obviously, I've done this show for 7 years and heard so many different stories and ideas around investing. And you mentioned value investing. And then on the other side, there'll be another guest maybe that comes on and is talking about day trading. And I know as a money expert myself, like I can kind of weed through those different ways of investing, but it's really hard for, I think, just people are trying to figure out the world of investing to know what exactly should I do? Like, what is my sweet spot with investing? So tell us a little bit about this idea of value investing, kind of why you think this is where we should be headed.
So look, there are different paths to wealth. There are 100 different ways to go from New York to LA. And it really comes down to understanding who you are and where you want to go. So you know what? For some people, it may be the answer. It could be day trading. For some people, it could be options trading. For some people, it could be value investing. For some people, it could be real estate investing. The first step in financial literacy is understanding your risk tolerance. And this phrase has also been misused for so many years by so many gurus. And when we talk about risk tolerance, we're not talking about just, okay, what do you feel? Like, how much risk do you think you're going to take?
Right.
That is just one component of your risk tolerance. Once you have figured out exactly what your risk tolerance is, then you can navigate the type of investment that you can make that is going to suit you. Personal finance is personal. Value investing may not be suitable for everybody. Swing trading may not be suitable for everybody. I used to be a day trader. Then I realized, you know what? I'm a mom. I have a business. I don't have time for that. I'm going to become a value investor. And of course, I have friends who are making a lot of money in day trading. So let's talk about your risk tolerance and how it's going to help you understand exactly what kind of investment you should be making. So risk tolerance actually has 3 different components. And the first one is your ability to take a risk. And that has everything to do with your current financial situation, your life phase. Are you in your 20s? Are you between 45 or 60? Are you 60 and above? Each of these life cycle phases is going to impact your ability to take a risk, because between 20 and 45, you're probably more growth oriented. You can accept more risk because of the long time horizon. Between 45 to 60, you're probably more conservation protection oriented. You're concerned about protecting what you've already accumulated. You're probably seeking less risk. If you're in your retirement years, you're more concerned about generating passive income to protect your assets that you already have. Maybe you're thinking about gifting. So the type of investment you're going to do, depending on your life cycle, is going to be different. Not to mention the type of person you are, like how many kids you have. Do you have a business? Are you a stay-at-home mom? Do you have a 9-to-5 job? Each and every one of this is going to contribute to figuring out your ability to take a risk. And the good news is this is actually measurable. You can actually measure. I actually give away this risk management toolkit that you can actually go and put in the numbers and then use your calculator to understand what is your ability to take a risk. Is it low, medium, or high? And it's interesting because a lot of our students come to our masterclass and they're like, oh, I have really low risk tolerance. And what they were talking about was their willingness to take a risk, which is your psychology. And that's great. But then they put in the numbers and they're like, oh my gosh, I have really high ability to take a risk. So then you can kind of combine the two and understand which path to take. And then the third component of your risk tolerance is your confidence in the asset that you're investing in. Now, this comes a little bit more into play if you decide to become a value investor. But even in day trading, if you have confidence that this trade is going to pan out a certain way and you develop your strategy based on your internal confidence, not based on what you heard on Twitter, that is going to accelerate your success. Because like the reason why people lose so much money is because of this age of information. Unfortunately, you have access to so much information that you cannot really understand which one is like what.
Right. Yeah. Like sorting through everything you're hearing, like all the noise. It's so much at times, especially right now.
Absolutely. So this is like basically a blessing and a non-blessing at the same time, because you have every information that you want at the fingertips, but at the same time, you have to sort through it. So that sorting through is what's going to give you that confidence. And that's one of the reasons why I have decided to become a value investor based on my life cycle, based on my life choices. I'm a mom. I have a business. I have all these things going on for me that, you know what? I only want to find a handful of assets that I'm confident about. They're going to be around for the next 5 to 10 years. And I do have a method to kind of do the technical analysis, dollar cost average, optimize my dollar cost averaging. But I don't stick to my screen to do that. I just set the system on the assets that I'm confident about. And then I go about my day. So these three components, your ability to take a risk, your willingness to take a risk, and your confidence in the asset that you're investing in, or the type of investment you're going to make, is going to show you which direction to go.
So I have a follow-up question. So we're talking about value investing, and how do you, it's probably hard to summarize here on this podcast. I'm sure you have many, many resources around this, but how do you go about finding a value company? Like, what does that actually mean?
Absolutely. So let's first define what value investing is compared to day trading. So day trading is typically high risk, is shorter term, and it either requires millions to start or you're going to need to go on leverage, which means borrowing money from your broker, and it's typically an all-day job. Value investing is lower risk, and therefore it could be lower reward. Is longer term, is about building wealth, and you can start small, and it takes typically 1 hour per week or per month. So the way to go about it, if you're a complete novice, the best place to start is going through your credit card statement and seeing what companies you are investing, you're spending the most with as a customer. Mm. What are the companies that you're like, oh my gosh, I'm a customer for life. No matter what competitor comes out, I'm going to stick with this company. And then figure out if that category is going to remain for the next 5-10 years. Are people going to need this in the future? So you do need to kind of think outside the box. Maybe this is a company that you're just using. Again, I'm using the mom example a lot, but like as a new mom, and then you're obsessed with them. But then think about, okay, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, are you going to continue to be a customer? How are they dealing with like the having to continue to bring on more customers? Maybe this company has some sort of a value ladder that once you're a new mom, like these are the products, and then they're going to be with you for the rest of your life, potentially, or your kid's life. So the best place to start really is to start with what you know. There is nothing that is going to replace the confidence that you have as a customer of a company.
Right.
And then you might be asking, okay, so what about cryptocurrencies? I get this question asked a lot because I wrote cryptocurrency investing for dummies. I'm like, okay, I don't know anything about that. So yes, then the next step, if you're not actually active in the cryptocurrency community, or you're not actually actively working with a cryptocurrency blockchain technology or a company that isn't kind of exposed to it, then you need to do your due diligence. Again, Elon Musk said so is not an investment strategy. Elon Musk is brilliant. Like, I love it. I think he's just amazing. But I am not going to just follow what he said just because he's Elon Musk, because I want to have internal confidence in the asset that I invest in. And a very big example of that, I may or may not have missed on that quote unquote opportunity, but I did not invest in Dogecoin when it first like started becoming very popular, especially by Elon Musk, even though I invest in Tesla. But I have my own reasons why I invest in Tesla. I didn't invest in Dogecoin because I just couldn't see the value. I read about it. I'm like, okay, I just don't see it. The same reason why Warren Buffett doesn't invest in Bitcoin. I invest in Bitcoin. Why? Because I read about it. I was like, oh, I can see why this is valuable. This makes sense to me. Warren Buffett read about it and it didn't make sense to him. And he's like 96 years old. And you know what? I don't blame him. Like, it's like he doesn't want to take a risk before he passes on that like is going to be catastrophic. Like, he doesn't get it. So personal finance is personal.
Yeah. So, you know, thinking about that, thanks for like explaining that about Elon Musk and Warren Buffett, because I think that gives some context to how you should think about your own investing and what really matches up with your own internal values. I know you're also a proponent of like, hey, even if you don't want to invest in crypto or NFTs or any of these other kind of trendy or hot new investment vehicles out there, but you still need to know about them. Like, why is it important for us to at least still have this like investigation process, even if we're like, I don't think that's a fit for me?
Because then you can act with confidence. Because then if you don't buy it, so these are the two questions that every value investor must ask themselves before they either decide to invest in something or decide not to invest in something, so that they can prevent a panic attack later on.
Right.
So are you ready for these two questions? So these two questions, you want to write them down. Question number one is that if I invest in this asset today and the price drops by 50% tomorrow, will I freak out and panic sell? Or will I buy more? This was question number one. And this is going to show you how much you actually know about. Like, this is going to be like some soul searching, right? And question number two is, if I don't invest today and hear that that asset is skyrocketing tomorrow, will I catch FOMO and buy immediately at a higher price? Or will I wait for a pullback? So that is exactly how I came about not deciding not to invest in Dogecoin, because it was trending. Everybody was talking about yelling to the moon and people were like putting each other down if you didn't get on the train, and it's us versus them and the Wall Street. And it had all these revolutionary ideas about behind them. But I asked myself, okay, if I don't invest today and I heard that it skyrocketed tomorrow, will I catch FOMO and buy tomorrow? I was like, you know what? No. I'm not going to buy tomorrow, no matter how much it's going to go up. And it was because I didn't know about it.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Yeah, I like those questions a lot because they seem like they would be easy questions to ask. But when you start thinking about them, there's a lot of layers there.
100%. This is going to reveal your exact confidence to take a risk.
Another thing I want to go back and just talk about, you mentioned Twitter and obviously all the noise around investing. And, you know, we've got people on TikTok and other social platforms saying, you know, invest in this or invest in that. And it can be really confusing to figure out what you even think will work for you. But I want to talk about a little bit about like the behavioral side of investing, because you mentioned that as well. And how did you, through your entire journey, like how did you cultivate some sort of strong investing mindset where maybe you weren't shaken by turmoil, but then you also didn't play really in that ego-driven place that I think we can easily get when we do have some success around investing? Like, how did you balance those two?
Absolutely. So let me be clear. I wasn't always like this. I did blow out my account back in the day. So when I was again passionate about investing and I got fired and I was like, okay, I want to learn more. And I started reporting from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And I was like, okay, I cannot go wrong with this. I was surrounded by the best traders, hedge fund managers on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And I went all in with my $15,000 now. I was like, okay, let me just make this trade that this person is talking about. And I blew it up. So that is when I realized, and that is when I actually developed my system, which is called the Invest Diva Diamond Analysis. We call it the IDDA for short. And I go through this 5-step process before I actually take action on an investment. And step number one is always capital, is what we talked about, is your ability to take a risk and understanding where you are financially and where you want to go with this investment. Like, why am I getting into this investment? Am I just getting into this investment to prove the Wall Street boys wrong? Or am I getting into this investment because, like, I want to create passive income? Is it going to my retirement fund? Is it going to generate income in the middle term? Like, you need to define that before you get into that. And that actually gets to point number two, which is intentional. You get into that position, you have to define your intention with each and every investment. And this goes beyond, by the way, yeah, just financial institutions. Like, investing is like investing in yourself, investing in your business, investing your time with a partner or people who are in your life. Like, this is like, investing is not just about money, by the way, and you need to become intentional. And that is how you can avoid getting overwhelmed. Like, overwhelm is the direct result of not having priorities and not having intention behind the things that you do. So you want to define that before you invest. Step number three is fundamental analysis, is, okay, whether you already understand what that company is or if you don't, go down the rabbit hole. Like, with cryptocurrencies that I don't actively mine, even though I wrote the book, I'm not very active in the cryptocurrency, like, from a scientific point of view, world. So every time I want to pick a new asset, I go down the rabbit hole. Who is the community? What problem is this solving? And one of the good things, again, about being a value investor is you can actually, again, ask yourself a bunch of questions to see if this is going to be valuable in the future. Do you want to know those questions?
Yeah, tell me.
All right. So the value asset picking criteria, it falls into two kind of groups. Number one, and is the easier one, is you can go and invest in category kings. What's a category king? A category king is a company or an asset, like anything, that when we talk about the category, that company's brand name pops into our head. Like, if I say online retail shopping.
Amazon.
If I say social media.
I would say Facebook.
If I say search engine.
Google.
There you go. So these are category kings. If I say cryptocurrency.
Bitcoin.
There you go. So these are category kings. They have enough brand recognition and they have a bigger chunk of the market because they were first in that category. And you can even go to subcategories. Like, it doesn't have to be this big categories. You can, like, look at the category for, I don't know, like, shoes for teenagers age 16 to 18. Like, it can go even to subcategory, but whoever dominates that category is a category king, which is a great place to start your value investing journey. The other way to go about this, about value investing or value asset picking, is then you say, okay, so what if I want to just pick a stock that is not big yet, but has room for growth?
Yeah.
So in this case, you want to look for these four characteristics. You want to look for companies that improve life, that solve a solid problem for a starving crowd, for somebody who actually has a pain. You want to look for companies who allow us to do things better, faster, and cheaper, because these things are never going to go away. And most important of all, like, at least for me, like as Invest Divas, our community, we invest in companies that do something good for the humankind. Because if you're basically voting with your money on which company you want to see succeed. So, and this gives you a lot of power too. So there could be a company that like, oh my gosh, this company is like amazing. They're doing so many good things. I actually want to get behind them. And the way you can get behind them without actually going and work with them is to actually invest in their asset. So that is the other way to go and pick growth stocks or growth assets. Like it, with blockchain, again, like you can look at what problem is this blockchain solving? Is it a real problem? Is this problem going to remain for the next 5-10 years? And like with stocks, if I don't know the company, I actually go and look at the management. Like, do the people, do their hiring, is it diverse? And the things that are important for me, like I want diversity. If they're not diverse, if like a bunch of like douchebags, I probably won't invest in that company, right? So,
you got to have your standards, right?
Right. And you vote with your money. That's the beauty of it. It becomes very personal at this point, at this stage. So this was the third point of the Invest Diva Diamond analysis. We were like going within subcategories within the categories. But, and by the way, I explain all of this in even more detail in my free masterclass. But the next step is something that you alluded to, is that, you know, market sentiment and like what, like looking at what other people are doing. And that is absolutely crucial. And we call it the sentimental analysis point of this. And typically we want to go against the crowd, because when something is blowing up and it's like everybody's super hyped up, you probably are too late to the party and you want to wait for a pullback. And the opposite is also true. If something is selling out, just because of the, like, the company is great. They can see they're doing amazing things and the future is bright, but they had a legal suit, like legal action against them. Or like, for example, Chipotle is a great example. Like back in the day, they had this virus that went around and killed people. And then the stocks, everybody panic sold. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to stop eating Chipotle. And I'm pretty sure, like, I looked at the management, like, I think they're going to overcome this and this is going to be a good buying opportunity. So I bought, and rest assured, it was a great buying opportunity. So, so that is when you want to look into the sentimental analysis. And then point number five is technical analysis, is where you kind of look at the price action. And this is super cool because history repeats itself. And the markets go up and down only and only because of market psychology. It has nothing to do with math. It's just about people doing the same thing over and over again. And it, in the stock market, in the markets, it appears on the chart. It's kind of translated into the price. So the final point is something that is super cool. And once you master that, you can look at the chart and like, oh, look, this is like super overhyped, overvalued right now. I can see that it could drop back. And then you can like literally see how low it could drop. The cool thing that you can do is to set something called a buy limit order, which means you can tell your broker that, hey, once the price reaches this price, like this level, can you buy this amount of shares of the stock? And you don't actually tell them. You just like click a button and you go about your day, and then 6 months later, that buy limit is going to go through, and things are like, that's literally how I invest. I only manage my portfolio once per month.
Okay, you just gave us like a masterclass in investing, so thank you very much for that.
You are so welcome.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard, You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club. A daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
So before you were writing books and you were this internationally recognized personal investing expert, what was your relationship with money? Like, how did you learn about money? Like, how did money become this central theme for your life?
Oh, I had a very bad relationship with money. I used to be what I now call a welfare diva. And I was. I was a welfare diva, and now I'm a millionaire diva. And it all has to do, like a lot of it, majority of it has had to do with my own relationship with money and how I perceived it. And all the lies that I had been told about money and realizing how wrong they were. Like lies like, you know, you have to work super hard to make money, like working hard. Like we've always all heard about, like, you need to work hard to make money, right?
Right.
And then realizing that, you know what? Money doesn't care how hard you work. Millionaires and billionaires aren't working a billion times harder than you. In fact, the hardest working people typically are paid the less, the least amount. And that is because they're putting their resources on things that aren't scalable, and like understanding that all these hard workers aren't wealthy. So I was like, oh, okay, working hard doesn't work. So I need to figure out a way to work smart. Another lie was that, if I make more money, I'm going to be wealthy.
Right.
And it is so interesting because that was like, okay, if I make $1 million, I'm going to be retiring. This is very true, especially among entrepreneurs, right? And it wasn't too long ago that I actually won this entrepreneurship award. It's called the Tucama Club Award within the ClickFunnels community. I don't know if you're familiar with, but it means like once you make or generate $1 million revenue on your website. And there were all these people lining up to get their award because they had made $1 million. And then like half of them, when you talk to them, they had filed for bankruptcy. Like right prior to getting the award, they were getting the award for generating the revenue. But because they hadn't put the money to work because they weren't financially literate, because they were mismanaging the revenue that they were generating, they actually had to file for bankruptcy, shut down their business altogether.
Wow.
And so that is when I found out, oh, financial literacy isn't a side effect of wealth. Wealth is a side effect of financial literacy. You can make peanuts. And if you're financially literate, you can slowly but surely actually create wealth. So it has been a very long journey for me to overcome all of these misconceptions about money, and money is evil, and all the good stuff that we were taught as kids.
Yeah.
And realizing how money is just a tool.
I love that you share that, because there's so much behind money, more so than just the how-tos. I share this on the show all the time, that it really is the accumulation of all of these things, all the myths, the beliefs, the how you were brought up, how you think about it, like all of these pieces that we don't talk about. We don't share that kind of wisdom. And yet, to me, that's really where the sweet spot is.
Absolutely. I actually call this the wealth ecosystem, because it is not just one thing. Like if I give you, like, people are like, oh, Keanu, just give me this one stock that's going to make me a million. I was like, it doesn't work that way. You need to have an ecosystem of wealth creation. If one of those elements of the ecosystem, like it's not just one element of that ecosystem that's going to make you a millionaire. You have to have the whole ecosystem working as a whole for you to actually become financially free. It's not just investing. It's not just becoming rich and becoming famous. It's not just having a business that generates $1 million in revenue. It's a wealth ecosystem.
I love this. Okay, so let's say we're listening and we want to make investing like our 2022 goal. I'm going to ask you to do what you just told me you don't like to do, but if you had to narrow down, you know, two, three things that you think we all need to remember on our investing journey this year, what would those be?
No, I love that question. I'm not going to give you a stock. I'm not going to give you a stock pick. Step number one, figure out your risk tolerance. Figure out why you want investing to be the theme of your 2022, where you are right now and where you want to get. Is it to generate passive income? Is it to accumulate wealth? Is it to protect your wealth? There are all different kinds of investment strategies. So for example, for my dad, he's 80, I invest in dividend stocks for him, because if you invest in enough dividend stocks, then you're going to have this stream of income that through a dividend payment every single month that can pay for your expenses. For myself, I don't invest in dividend stocks. Why? Because every time they get paid a dividend, you have to pay taxes. And I prefer, because I have a business that is generating money for me anyway, I don't need that. So I invest in growth and value stocks that are going to make more money for me in the 5 to 10 to 15 year time horizon. So for everybody, you need to understand step number one, where you are now, where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And then based on that, select an investment avenue that suits your now willingness to take a risk. Your time management, like what do? You have the time to do day trading, options trading, or you want it to be more passive? And there is nothing wrong with either, but you have to get your priorities straight, because otherwise you cannot be everywhere and anywhere. You cannot do everything and anything. You need to focus on one thing and one thing only. So once you select that, then commit to it. Don't be a ping pong ball. Like, don't bounce around. Again, and this is not just about investing. It's like about literally every aspect of, like, once you commit to something, once you decide on what is decision. Decision comes from this Latin word decidere. D means the D in decision means off. And the sedere in the Latin word means cut. So cut off. Cut off all of the irrelevant things, all of the noise, and focus on that one thing.
Such good advice. Well, Keanu, wow, you've shared so much with us today. I would love for you to tell everyone listening, where do they go to find you and connect with you?
Absolutely. So I would love to invite everybody here to come. And if you're interested in actually learning about this risk tolerance thing, we have this amazing popular masterclass, which is called the Make Your Money Work For You masterclass, all you have to do is to go to investdiva.com/masterclass. Once again, it's investdiva.com/masterclass. And it's a 90-minute presentation. I'll walk you through all the points that I made today. And then at the end of it, just for attending, you're actually going to get my risk management toolkit for free so that you can go ahead and calculate your ability, your willingness to take a risk so that you can go and then select which avenue of investing you want to take. So this has been our number one most popular class training ever, that my goal and mission is to help as many people as possible to go through it so that they can start investing with more confidence. Because at the end of the day, you want to be able to sleep well at night. Like, this whole money game is so that you don't have a money problem. So, and that comes from within, from your confidence. And you have to understand, you have to do some soul searching in order to get there. That's why you need this risk management toolkit.
I think both the exciting and potentially very confusing part of investing is just figuring out what will work for you. Yes, it can seem like there are endless options to choose from when you're starting to invest. But at the end of the day, as Kiana said, it's about figuring out why you want to invest, what role you want investing to play in your life, and then matching the companies that you know and like up with those investing goals. The good news is you don't have to glue yourself to a computer every day to invest wisely and build a nice chunk of money. And I think Kiana's story can really inspire us all. If you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor, share it with your friends, family members, anyone who you know is really into this thing called investing. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guest, as well as our sponsors who make this podcast possible. I will see you right here in a few days for a brand new episode.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Before you go, we want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com, where you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.